Transparency here was the week leading up to Easter. Can I tell you, things were just jumping around here. I was trying to prepare for a Good Friday service as well as an Easter service, and there's that pressure, you know. They say, you know, some people come in, you know, they say, hey, Pastor, you better have your A game. It's Easter, right? I mean, and so, you know, my stress level was like here, you know, going through Easter. And then it took me like 10 days to be able to kind of come back down from that stress that I was experiencing that week. Nobody likes to experience stress, and often that stress seems to lead to worry. So according to Gallup's 2019 Global Emotions Report, you ready for this? The United States is ranked second in the world behind Greece for having its citizens experience high levels of stress. Well, that stinks, right? I mean, Greece, you know what's going on over there, right? I mean, for the last 4 or 5 years, they have been experiencing financial issues in their country of unprecedented levels. I mean, folks in Greece actually technically have money in the bank, but when they try to go withdraw that money, there is no money to withdraw. That's what that country is experiencing. That's a super stressed out country. 59% of Greeks feel stressed, rightly so, but 55% of Americans feel stressed on a daily basis. In this poll, 45% of Americans felt worried most of the time. That's significant, isn't it? 45%. 22% felt angry over some situation in their life that they felt like was out of their control. Americans ranked a full 20 percentage points higher than the world average when it came to feeling stress in their daily lives. Jay Ray is a Gallup editor from Great Britain, and he wrote in his summary report of this poll this: even as their economy roared, most Americans were stressed, angry, and worried last year than at most any points over the previous last decade. You know what? This isn't just related to adults. Did you know that an independent study has found out that that stress level in teenagers' lives has risen by a whopping 400% in the last 20 years? That means that teenagers today are experiencing four times the stress level that their parents experienced. Today, do you know what the number one reported healthcare concern is for teenagers? Anxiety and depression. Number one health concern. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among teens. Accidental death is number one, ranking just 2 percentage points higher than suicide or homicides. 1 in 10 teenager deaths due to suicide. Americans are stressed and they're worried. If you want to move to a less stressful environment, Latin America has this figured out. All right? The top five least stressful countries in the world, Latin American countries. So maybe we can learn something from our Hispanic brothers and sisters in our Willard community. And the leading reason for this, that Gallup poll found, the number one reason why that Latin American countries are experience so much less stress is this: because of their great emphasis on the family structure. And they feel like, man, if my family is in order and everything is good with my family, I can take on whatever issues come my way. The most stressed country in the world for the last decade has been Chad, where 7 out of 10 people say that they're stressed because they don't have any money to buy food for their family. So when you see issues like Chad, and you see issues like Greece that have experienced it over the last decade, you know, we look at America and we go, wow, what's our issue here, right? Because we're not experiencing those sort of problems. I think it's fair to say, though, that we have a problem with stress and worry in our culture. And you know what? Folks did in Jesus' day as well. It was a big deal in Jesus' day. And so he actually addresses this concept in his Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to look at that here this morning. And in his Sermon on the Mount, this is one of Jesus' longer teaching points that he wants to point out here. Some of them have been fairly brief. This one is not. It's pretty in-depth. He hits it pretty hard. So I'd like to read that to you. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, so we can get some context here. This isn't in your notes in totality, because I didn't have room for that, but they will be on the screens. Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Let's pray as we get ready to jump into this. Lord, this is such a powerful teaching that you give here. But really the truth behind this teaching is that we learn to apply it to our lives. And so I pray that over the next few minutes as we look at this passage, would you speak to our hearts, and would you help us to get insight into what you're trying to communicate here? And would you help us, Lord, to be able to apply this to our lives, I pray. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a very practical and relatable teaching here by Jesus on a subject that is just as applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago, maybe even more so if you think about that Gallup poll that I shared with you. And here's the key thought of the day, and I want you to be thinking about this as we talk for the next few minutes, because this is kind of our focus point, and it's where we want to end up, hopefully, at the end of the next few minutes, and it's this. We don't have to worry in life when we have the proper life focus. We don't have to worry in life when we have the proper life focus. Here's our key verse of the day, and it's Jesus' central teaching in this rather lengthy portion of the Sermon on the Mount. This is like the home run punch that he wants us to get in all those paragraphs. It's this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You know, Jesus is saying here, when we seek after God and his kingdom with all our heart, we come to realize that there really isn't anything in life that's truly worth worrying about. And here's how we know that. One of the reasons is that the Greek word for seek here literally means keep on seeking. Unfortunately, sometimes when the English translation, comes from the Greek language, we lose a little bit in the translation. That's a little unfortunate. It's understandable, though, because the English language has three tenses, right? We have past, present, and future. The Greek language has seven, okay, tenses. And so sometimes verb endings, we don't get the exact translation that maybe we should get. So Jesus is he actually expands on this thought in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll be looking at that in a few weeks. But the verse literally should read this way. But keep on seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Here's why I'm pointing that out. To seek God's kingdom and righteousness, that's just not a one-time event. Jesus is saying here that we're to continually seek after God's kingdom. We're to continually seek after God's righteousness throughout our life. Seeking God's kingdom is not like taking a once-in-a-lifetime car trip. Let's say you want to take a once-in-a-lifetime car trip to the Grand Canyon. You know you're only going to do it once. It's really far away. And so you make all the plans. You pack up the car. You drive there to the Grand Canyon. You see it. You do it. You come back and you say, okay, I'm done. I've been there. I've seen it. I've done that. And I'm not going to ever do that again. I'm not going to drive that trip again. Jesus is saying that God's kingdom isn't like that. Instead, it's God's kingdom is something that we should experience every time we get in the car. Whether we're driving across country or whether we're driving across town, that every time that we're in the car that we should be experiencing God's kingdom. Maybe that's not a great illustration, but seeking God's kingdom should happen often and regularly in our life. It's not a one-time stop at the altar and invite Jesus into my life, and then we say, I'm done. I've experienced the kingdom. I have the kingdom. I'm good. Keep on seeking God's kingdom and righteousness. That's what Jesus is saying. So what does that look like? How do we keep on seeking God's kingdom in our life? I have a few thoughts I want us to consider here this morning. But before I do that, I think it's really important that we define. You hear the squeaking? Do you know it took me a long time to figure out what that was? I was actually in here one time. I was doing a prayer time, and that squeaking was, and it was driving me nuts. I'm like, we either have the biggest rodents in the universe. It's the steeple on the church in the wind. Okay, it's bolted down. Trust me, I haven't checked, but sorry for going crazy there. It was just bugging me. Let's define God's kingdom. According to this context here and what Jesus is teaching, what does he mean when he says, keep on seeking God's kingdom? God's kingdom, here's your next blank, is Jesus ruling over his people with the Father's total blessing and authority. That's what God's kingdom is. We need to understand that in the context of God's kingdom, that it's more than just heaven, okay? I think a casual reading, we think God's kingdom, well, that's heaven, that's the future, that's what I'm going to experience someday after this life on earth is over. And it's part of that, but it's more than just heaven. It's also his kingdom right now. His kingdom as it lives and rules in his people's hearts. Jesus' kingdom is right now on earth as he lives in and through his people. And we're not just to seek heaven someday. We're to keep on seeking God's kingdom that exists right now in our lives. The spiritual kingdom of Jesus that if we're followers of him, we're part of. So how do we do that? Here's the principal action that we need to take to understand this. It's this. Keep on seeking to glorify God in your life. Keep on seeking to glorify God in your life. It's important for us to realize that this teaching that we're looking at this morning, it's really part two of what we looked at last week. Jesus is kind of continuing his thought of what he was teaching on in the passage before. Our key verse last week was Matthew 6:21. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And last week we said that the principal thought behind this teaching is that what we value most in life tends to have our heart. And that Jesus wants to be that treasure of our heart. He wants to be what we value most. And here's the deal on this. Worry, anxiety, stress, that can hinder us from seeking to bring glory to God in our lives. That can lead to issues of where our heart is and what we're pursuing. So Jesus says, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus is saying here, your perspective, if you're a follower of me, your perspective ought to be a complete 180 of what people's perspectives are who don't know me. He's saying when it comes to trusting me and realizing that your heavenly Father has a plan for you and laying aside worry and anxiety, you should have a different perspective than people who don't know me. Because God truly knows what we need. Trust him for that. And then we can fully concentrate on going after bringing him glory with our actions and through the trust that we demonstrate. You know, when we live life by trusting God and putting aside worry and stress, then if we take the step to name God as the reason why we don't fall victim to those things, we're pointing people toward God constantly in our lives, and that's bringing him glory. Listen to how Paul illustrates this in Romans. In Romans 5, he says this, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Man, if you're taking notes with me, you might want to underline that last phrase. Fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. You know, Jesus is reminding us as his followers in this passage in the Sermon on the Mount that when we trust God and put aside earthly issues like worry, we bring glory to him by demonstrating our faith in him, by putting that faith literally into practice. We keep on seeking the kingdom by living to glorify the ruler of the kingdom, Jesus. So I have here a couple of ways I think that we can live this out. And here's the first one. Keep on seeking to do God's will in your life. Keep on seeking to do God's will in your life. When we pursue God's will, we bring him glory. Because God desires to use us to bring him glory. That's the awesome part. You see, on this, all we have to do is keep on seeking to do his will, and then his will in our life takes care of bringing him the glory. It's kind of like the chicken and the egg here. Can my actions bring glory to God? Yes, because those actions are actually part of his sovereign will for us in the world, designed to bring him glory. This is what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians about that. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to enable you to live a life worthy of his call. May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Then the name of our Lord will be honored because of the way you live, and you will be honored along with him. This is all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. It's good stuff there. So we should seek to do God's will for our lives. Here are a couple of ways that I think we can do that. Seeking to follow God's will. First of all, we keep on seeking to be submissive to Jesus. That means that we keep on seeking to follow his leading in our life, his leading in our relationships, his leading when it comes to our spiritual growth, his leading in using our spiritual gifts for him and for his church, his leading in how we use our resources. That's how we keep being submissive to Jesus. Here's another one. We keep on seeking God's will in our sanctification. Here's how Paul describes this. He says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instruct you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you're doing. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. And then he goes on to flesh out what that looks like. And he talks about that there are things in our life that if we're seeking to be sanctified, if we're seeking to be following after Jesus with all of our heart, to be set apart for him and for his purposes, then there are things that we need to lay aside in our life. We need to take those things off because they're not glorifying to God. And then there are other things that he wants us to put on because those things are glorifying to God. But when we submit ourselves to God and allow him to do his work within us, that's following his will for our lives. And that brings him glory. Here's another way that we glorify God when we're seeking his kingdom. Keep on seeking to expand his kingdom. We bring glory to God when we spread the reign of Jesus. That brings glory to God. That's why we do things like Great Commission Day today. That's why we take up that offering, because it gives us the opportunity. It's one way that we as his people can help spread the reign of Jesus. Here's the reality check on this one. We ought not to do missions because of a command. We ought to spread the gospel because the glory of God and his Christ is at stake. That's why we do missions. Can I tell you, I went to so many youth conferences with taking my students, and well-intentioned speakers would get up in front of the students and they would say, you need to be taking the message of Jesus to your friends and around the world because God has commanded it. And has he? Yes, he has. But that's not why we do missions. We don't do missions because God has commanded it. We do it because we want to see Jesus' reign expanded. We want to see his kingdom grown. We want to see glory brought to our King and Lord. That's why we do missions. That's why we take the message around the world and to our neighbors. Listen to Paul's testimony on this. He says, "But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his Son to me, so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus." Can I tell you something? If you're a follower of Jesus, that verse applies to you. Because before you were even born, God has chosen you to be in a relationship with him. And then he revealed Jesus to you. And Jesus came into your life. And now, what's the mission? Proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Expand his kingdom. Bring glory to the King. You know, when we're in God's will, by yielding our will to his and by expanding the kingdom, our faith, it's actually able to push aside worry and anxiety. How's that happen? Here's what we have to understand. It's your next blanks in your notes. Diligently seeking after God's kingdom and righteousness will energize our faith in God. It'll energize our faith in God. The deeper our faith, the more confident we are in God's provision. More on that in just a bit. So how does seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness cure worry? Here are a couple of thoughts I want us to grab from this teaching of Jesus here. First off is this: we defeat worry by understanding our worth to God. Listen to Jesus' words. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" If you're taking notes with me, circle that last phrase. Are you not much more valuable than they? Do you know Psalm 139 tells us that God formed us and created us in our mother's womb? Do you know that it actually says in that passage that he planned out our days before we ever officially entered this world? And that his thoughts for us actually outnumber the stars in the sky. That's how much value God puts on you. John tells us, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. I promise you this. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done in your past. God places more value and worth on you than you will ever begin to imagine this side of heaven. The Bible is literally full of his love for humanity and his desire for us to know him and be in relationship with him. You know, most of you know that this winter, our mutt wandered away from our house. Spent 5-6 days as the prodigal dog, wandering the wilderness. Some of you were so kind, you actually helped us look for her. And she did make it home finally safe and sound. You know, and I call Molly our mutt, and I know this is going to shock some of you, but I tell her all the time that she's ugly. I tell her all the time nobody likes her. I say it in real kind voice. She doesn't understand the words. You know, I'm like, "You're so ugly." You know, I mean, she tail wags, you know. But the reality is, man, that stupid dog is part of our family. You know, I mean, we would never stop caring for her. We wouldn't abuse her. She's part of our family. But you know what? As much as Lori and I love our dog, how much more do we love our kids, right? It's really no comparison. And Jesus is saying in this teaching, God even cares for the birds. And they're not even created in his image like you are. How much more must he care for you? You know, when we understand how much value God places on us, that just helps us trust him for the course of our life. We're not always going to understand every road or every path that we have to walk. We're not going to. But it does help us to trust him when we understand the value he places upon us. Here's another way. We defeat worry by realizing the importance of spiritual growth. It's huge in our lives. Listen to what Jesus says about that. He says, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Here's the implication of that last little phrase there. Jesus is saying this, greater faith leads to less worry. That's what he's saying. If you have greater faith, it's going to lead to less worry in your life. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the folks in Thessalonica about this. He said, we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love of all that you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith. Grab this. In all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. Paul is saying, man, your faith and your love, it's on display. And one of the reasons why it's so on display, it's because of the road that you're walking as a church right now. It's not an easy road. It's hard. You're experiencing trials and persecutions, but you are throwing your faith out there for the world to see, and you're walking that path, trusting me. It's bringing me glory. It's a testimony to my goodness. I would invite Donna Kuzma to come up here if I could. I asked her if she would share her story. And some of you know her story. She's walked a difficult road over the last several years. Some of you might not be aware of all the details on that. But I asked her if she'd be willing to come up and share her story about what this has looked like at her life. So can you welcome her? Just give her like, yeah. Great. Do you want to stand?
This is so bad I wrote my name on here so I wouldn't forget who I was. Okay. Hi, I'm Donna, and I struggle with anxiety and stress. For the last 4 years, I've had a pretty bad battle with Crohn's disease. And you guys have been my prayer warriors in my family, and I want to thank you for that. I thank you for all the prayer. I thank you how God tested you as well on wanting answered prayer and making you work for it. So I thank you for the words of encouragement, the visits, the meals, the cards, the flowers, the calls. You guys don't know how much everything that you did spurred us on and kept us going. And I have to thank my husband, who's out there, for being my superhero. I could not have done this journey without him. I was a high-maintenance person. I really probably, when I first came home, should have been put in a nursing home. I was that much work. And I actually thought the first day that we came home and the doctor or the nurse came to see us that I'm not going to make it through the night. I was a lot for him to have to deal with. And so anyway, so stress and anxiety, I know a lot about it. And we don't do Webster anymore. We Google, and it says anxiety, it's an unpleasant feeling of dread over anticipated events. And I had a lot of events at Cleveland Clinic, and they are my heroes as well. So I want to go back to just one day, 1 hour, May, April of 2016. And I'm a year into this chronic disease. And we had appointments coming up at Cleveland Clinic. And my stress level and my anxiety was high. And because I was running out of some hope, I had a hole in my stomach, which is a normal thing that most people have. And I had an appliance that I had to keep on it. And I wasn't allowed to do a whole lot because it would make this appliance come off. I called it Ed. But anyway, you had to name it. I don't know. So anyway, sorry if there's any Eds in here. It was just a pet name for my little thing. And so anyway, I thought I am going to, Jack's not here. He's not watching me. So I'm going to go out and weed. I know weeding doesn't sound like a big thing, but when you're not allowed to do anything, it was a big thing, and I wanted to be outside. So we lived at Holiday Lakes, and we lived by the East Beach, and we lived on a hill. And so I just wanted to weed those little weeds that were driving me crazy because I could see them over the railing. Just pull those little things out. And so I'm out there, and I'm weeding, and I'm finally like, and God speaks to us. He speaks to us through our Bible readings. He speaks to us through music. He speaks words of encouragement through friends. So he speaks to us. And so I know God has spoken stuff, but I needed God to show up and show off. And so I was praying, and I finally just said, okay, God, I need you. I need you today, and I want to see an eagle. And we see eagles occasionally out to Holiday Lakes. And I said, but I hadn't seen one in, like, I don't know, 3 months maybe. It had been a while. I said, I want to see an eagle, and I want it to be today. I want to know that you are here with me, that you're walking through this, and then I'm gonna get answers. I'm gonna get results. So, you know, and so I put on that today. So I'm weeding down that hill, and it's not like there was a lot, but I got to the bottom of the hill, and I felt the Lord speak in my spirit, and He said, well, you're not gonna see an eagle if you don't look up. And I'm stuck. So I look up, and I'm like, yeah, okay. So, you know, pretty blue sky. It was really pretty. And little spotty clouds. And I just look back down like, yeah. And as I'm kind of being a little sarcastic, out of the corner of my eye, here swoops this eagle. Boom. And it was from here probably to the back of the, right here at the wall. And it soars, and I'm just like, okay. And it goes out of sight, and I'm like, bring it back. Why not? You know, it's like, give it to me. And so that eagle comes back by. And this time, it goes back, and it sails up, and there's another bird following it. I know what a seagull looks like, and I know what a pigeon looks like. It was a white bird. Only thing I can say, don't tell me. I don't know what it was, but it looked like a dove to me. And it went, I was just like, okay. I felt like I was on holy ground then. Felt a little humbled. My knees got a little weak, kind of like standing up here talking to you guys. God showed up. And so anxiety and stress. I am Donna Kuzma. Yes, I struggle with anxiety and stress. But I know my God lives. I know my God is real. And I know that He's walking with me and through me through all of this. And that's just one day, 1 hour in this long journey. But as Pastor said, it's a mission field. Would I have signed up for 4 years of pain and suffering? Because I know what pain and suffering is. Nope. But God knew that He could get me through. And it's kind of like a puzzle in life. And I'm not a puzzle doer, just so you know. Don't invite me over to sit and do a puzzle. But in a puzzle, it's one piece at a time. And that's what this last 4 years has been, one piece at a time, taking that piece and finding where it goes. And it wasn't overwhelming then, as long as you didn't. Sometimes it was just 1 minute at a time, tell you the truth. There were some anxious times at our homes and scary times. And but God has always been faithful. God has always provided. God has always been there. And I want to thank you again for your love, your support, and no matter what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. But God does. He cares. Nothing's too big for Him. And even sometimes when we don't hear Him, He's there. And you're on a mission field. You're impacting lives, whether you want to or not. People are seeing. People are noticing. People are there. And people do care. Reach out. Touch. And if you need to talk, I'm here. Thank you.
Well, I'm no wildlife expert, but I know doves don't chase eagles, right? I mean, that's a God thing, right? I don't know why Donna has walked the road that she's walked the last few years. I don't know. But I do know this, because I've seen it firsthand. While she's walked this road, she has brought God great glory. Greater faith leads to less worry in our life, because we understand and can put into practice that God is in control always. Here's the last one. We defeat worry by applying the proper life focus. Talked about that in our key point of the day. That leads us back to our key verse of the day. Jesus says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know, Jesus is stressing that the proper life focus on seeking after God's kingdom and righteousness helps us to defeat worry. And the reason for that is this, because our eyes are not on ourselves. They're on Him. You know, Keith Green is one of my favorite musicians, and maybe you've heard him as well. He passed away in the mid-80s in a plane crash. But he wrote a song. It's called Make My Life a Prayer to You. Maybe you've heard it. And it has a verse in it that says this, "Well, I want to thank you now for being patient with me. Oh, it's so hard to see when my eyes are on me. I guess I'll have to trust and just believe what you say. Oh, you're coming again, coming to take me away." You know, Keith Green had it figured out. It's super hard to see and trust God's plans when our eyes are on ourselves, when we're on our own concerns. And in those moments, it's so much more worthwhile to have our focus on Jesus and to trust Him for His promises, to trust Him that He has a future for us, to trust Him that He's coming to take us away someday to be with Him forever in heaven. Really quickly here, I need to wrap up. Here are a couple of practical steps that I think we can put into practice to help lower worry and stress in our life. These are things that I've learned anyway. First one is this, seek to grow together. You know, it's one of our core values here. Christian community folks can be huge when it comes to lowering stress and worry in your life. It can be huge. Here's the principle on this one. Talk it out. Talk it out with your brothers and sisters in Christ. When you're worried or when you're stressed, share with them your concerns, your worry, your stress points. Ask them for their support. Ask them to pray for you. Ask them to rally around you. Here's a crazy thought. The person that you share your worry or your stress concern with might be the person that God is tapping to alleviate that worry or stress in your life. But it might never happen if you don't go public. Here's the second one. Seek God's counsel. And here's the principle on this one. Pray it out. I love this verse in Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. It's only 10 words. Everybody here can memorize that, okay? That would be a great verse to memorize. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Spend time seeking God and asking Him to meet whatever that need might be and ask Him to take away any worry or stress that's associated with it. Here's the third one. Seek to apply God's promises. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will make you miserable." He didn't say that, right? He said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Here's the principle on this one. Let it go. Just let it go. And no, I'm not going to sing a Disney tune here. You wouldn't want to hear that, okay? But the song kind of had it right, you know? Just let it go. Move forward. On Wednesday, I got a new truck. I had a 19-year-old truck. I was starting to sink more money in it than it was worth, and it just came. It was just time. And so I got it on Wednesday. And on Saturday, I have my utility trailer on it, and I'm putting a rotor tiller in it. And the tongue of the trailer popped off the ball of the truck and rolled forward and smacked right into the tailgate of my brand new truck. I almost vomited. Can I tell you? I mean, I almost threw up. First new vehicle I've ever owned in my life, okay? And I knew this message was done, right? And I get in the truck and I'm like, Lord, are you kidding me? Like, this is the illustration you had to come up with for let it go? And so I'm just sitting in my truck and I'm going, Lord, help me to let it go. Help me to let it go, right? Because what's the reality? Could I undo it? No, I'm not Marty McFly, okay? I can't go back in the future. I can't do that sort of stuff. I couldn't undo it. It was done. So let it go, man. We had things planned with the family that day. I didn't want that to ruin my day. Just let it go. I actually forgot about it that night until I saw it the next day. Jesus says, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You know what he's saying there? Let it go. Here's the bottom line. Stress and worry will always be part of our life on earth. But with the proper life focus, it can have less and less influence in our life. And that's the goal, right? For it to have less and less influence as our trust and faith in Jesus grows more and more. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this teaching, and as I prayed earlier, great teaching, not always easy to apply in our lives. So would you grow us, Lord? Would you grow us into the people that you want us to be? Would you help us to be faithful to do our part, Lord? May we seek to stay in the center of your will. May we seek to bring you glory. And as we do that, Lord, you do your stuff in us. You provide the eagles, the encouragement, the strength that we need. Thank you so much for your faithful promises. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.